Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you might be listening to this podcast. We want to welcome you in. We are glad that you joined us in our study of digging deeper in the Psalms. And today we are in Psalm chapter 15. This is one of those Psalms that I think most people know. It's not quite Psalm 23 level, but it is a psalm you've probably heard preached on before if you've been in the church, and the words are pretty powerful. And so I'm excited about getting to walk through this with my friend and partner in ministry, Trey Durden. Just us two chickens today. We couldn't sucker anybody else into joining us. And so here we are with Psalm 15. So Trey's going to read from the New Living Translation, and then we'll see where this takes us. Trey, take it away.
All right. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever.
That's good. Five verses, but man, they are powerful. And I love Absolutely. How it starts. Who can dwell in your tent? Who can who can come? Who can sojourn is what the ESV says. Who can sojourn in your tent? Who can dwell on your holy hill? It kind of reminds me of like the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, right. What must I do to inherit eternal life?
I've done all that.
And so here we have David asking the question. And I'd love the longing, though, behind the question, right? It's not what checklist do I have to check off here in order to be with you, God? He says, I want to do whatever it takes to be with you. So what is it? And then the Spirit inspires him to give us some pretty cool characteristics. Well, what do you see as you think about Psalm 15 there, Trey?
Well, I think the first thing is this gateway in, okay? Mm-hmm. And he sets it up. Who may worship in your sanctuary? Who may enter your presence? And then he gives us these characteristics. He gives us these people who can enter the presence of the Lord. And I just think that's interesting to think about. You know, we go on trips and we go and visit, you know, grandparents, or we go visit friends or whatever, and we come into their presence, you know. And usually when we do something like that, if we're going to stay with someone, maybe we'll take a gift, you know, maybe we'll take some white sauce from Decatur, Alabama, you know, or we'll take them, you know, whatever it is to remind them of where we're from and invite them to come stay with us sometime. And I don't know, that's kind of what I think of is here's this idea of entering into the presence. And I don't know that we really think about that all the time because we know that, you know, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the day. And so he's with us always. But there is a formal, there is a real approach and a presence of God that we get to be in front of, that we get to step into. And it's not like we have to go to a temple anymore. You know, there's not a holy place. There's not a holy man who gives us entrance. There's not a holy, you know, holy words that have special words. No, we get to just to stand in the presence of God every day, all day, anytime that you want to pray, anytime you want to approach him, because of what Jesus has accomplished.
That's great.
And so you're in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. You're in the presence of the Lord 24/7 all the time. And what access you have to what incredible power and wisdom and strength. And yet we don't realize it. Yeah. You know, where's your barbecue sauce for him? Yeah, where's your gift? Where's your, you know, let's make it real. Let's step into his presence and be lavished upon by his love and his grace.
I'm going to chase something here just a little bit because it just popped in my head when you were talking, not necessarily connected to this, but he says, who shall dwell in your holy hill? But then you think about it, the answer is none of us, really. Because none of us are those things without Jesus.
Without Jesus.
And so what we couldn't do on our own, he does for us. And not only do we now have access to him, but he dwells in us.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the Spirit's presence in our life and just how powerful that is. Who can sojourn in the tent? Who can dwell in the holy hill?
Nobody.
Not us. Except for Jesus, who makes us blameless and righteous and all of these things. But there is, like you said, there is still... I don't want to call it work as in the phrase that I have to earn something, but there's work for us to do.
Absolutely.
There's good works that he has prepared for us to do. And And as you look at verses 2 through 5, you kind of see some of those things laid out for us. Which of those, in those verses, which one did you like, oh man, that one's tough? Which one of those jumps out at you most?
Well, of course, you know, we're preachers. We like speaking the truth. You know, I'm all about speaking some truth. And knowing the truth, and to be able to speak it, that's really big to me, and it's important to me. I think of that as, you know, this very important thing. But I also honor and I appreciate those whose, when they read this, you know, they really focus in on whatever it may be, not, you know, lending money without charging interest.
Right.
You know, there's people who have the gift of liberality financially. Right? There's people who have other gifts that are, you know, hospitality or whatever it is. You know. And here, you know, I don't know, ours is words, you know.
Yeah,
we love words.
Yeah.
And we love to be able to speak the words of God. And so that's the one that probably jumps out at me the most.
Man, I like verse 4.
Yeah.
The NLT or the ESV says, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. What does the NLT say there again?
Yeah, they keep their promises even when it hurts.
Even when it hurts.
Wow. Yeah.
I would love to tell you, everyone who's listening, that has been me.
Yeah, exactly.
I have sworn and I keep my promises even when it hurts. But that would not be true.
You know when that's really true, right? To me is my kids.
Yeah.
Is when it comes to my kids and them saying, hey, are we going to do this on this time, on this day? Yeah, we're planning for it. You know, that's what we're going to do. Uh-huh. You know, and then a million other things come
right
up, a million opportunities possibly to do something that you've been wanting to do, but you've made a promise.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to to whatever it is. I'm going to go do this. We're going to go play in the creek, or we're going to go
right.
to
exactly.
this concert or whatever it is. And so maybe we don't think of it that way all the time, but our kids definitely make it easier for us. And maybe they can teach us that this is the way it should be. With everybody,
yeah.
With everybody, to have that openness and that
yeah,
willingness,
and I think that's big. And you know, the honoring the promises, and I don't know, I see so many couples struggling. I see so many divorces happening all over our country, the world even, and you know, the statistics even in the church are not good as to that. But yet here he says, man, the one who dwells with God makes this promise, and even when it's not fun. He keeps it. Now, obviously, in that situation, if there's infidelity and those kind of things, that's a different story than what we're talking about. But how many times do people jump out of relationships or jump out of churches even? We'll expand it from marriage. Just, I didn't like what happened, and so boom, I'm done or I'm gone. So I'm going to join this body of believers, and then they're going to do something I don't like, and I'm just jumping ship. And we just run instead of keeping our promises that we're going to grow together and work together and be together. We just seem to jump ship so quick. And so I love this concept of, I'm not going to change. I'm going to continue to keep my promises when I make them. That's big.
It is big. And you brought up marriage, and immediately I thought of a friend, you know, who did stay with a spouse who you know, was unfaithful, and chose to keep that marriage intact and to overcome that and to forgive.
Mm.
And what a picture of forgiveness. I mean, I hold this person up on a pedestal and just think so highly of them because of their ability to forgive. And you know what? It's not easy for them every day, you know? And I imagine over time it may get easier. I hope that it does. I don't know. I have no idea what it would be like. But I just, you know, I look back on those first few years after that forgiveness. And I was very close with this couple. And so I knew the struggles, and we prayed about things, you know, very specifically for, you know, with both of these spouses, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, the forgiveness there, and it was to their hurt, you know, I mean, it did hurt them to do this.
Absolutely.
And yet, wow, what a picture of faith there.
Well, and what a picture of God, right?
Yeah.
I think the relationship between husband and wife gives us more opportunity to be forgiving and gracious than any other relationship we
Absolutely.
Have in our lives. And the kids are close to that.
Yeah.
But I would say marriage even on top of that. This is one of the reasons God uses us as an illustration, right?
There you go.
Ephesians
That's right.
5.
It's like Christ in the church.
That's right. And I also look at this and I see, the use of the tongue, verse 3, right?
Yeah.
He who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor. Man, it's just sometimes I think we forget these things, that what we say matters. I think we forget that yeah, they may have hurt my feelings, but that doesn't mean I've got to blast them.
Right.
You know, and so I just, this is kind of an all-encompassing thing here.
Really,
he's talking
is.
About our mouths. He's talking about our actions. He's talking about our pocketbooks. He's talking about all of it. I mean, this is, he says, basically, the person who is wholly surrendered to God is the one who can,
that's the only
who
one.
Can stand.
That's right. That's right.
He's the one that can come into his presence.
Yeah, Jesus has got to be ruling in our hearts. For us to, some of these things might come more naturally to us, you know?
Right.
But some of these other, some of the other things maybe don't come mm-hmm. as natural, and just that idea of our relationship with our neighbors, you know, and the fact that that's there, in verse 2 he says, "Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right," and then he goes into this list, right, mm-hmm. and so. This is what is blameless. This is a description of a blameless life. This is a description of righteousness, mm-hmm. of doing right. And I almost feel like it could be summed up with, give each other the benefit of the doubt.
I like it. Yeah.
Give each other the benefit. Look for ways to help each other. Look for ways to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Yes, somebody might have told you this about your neighbor. Well, you know what? Maybe it's not true.
Yeah.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Man, there's always two sides to a story.
That's
and
right.
Everybody's sharing their own version of the truth.
Yeah.
And usually that lies somewhere between those two. Not always, but usually.
That's right. And look, so, why not? I mean, if anybody's going to be able to put themselves out there to be used, possibly, shouldn't it be us?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was used up for us.
That's right.
Why don't we offer ourselves a little bit more vulnerability as a Christian to say, hey, I'm with you. I'm here to help you, and I'll do what I can. I'll go mm-hmm. as far as I possibly can to make you better, to make your life better, to serve you. And you know what? Even when they mess up, even when they stab us in the back, even when things don't work out and they prove themselves unrighteous, well, shouldn't we just say, well, me too?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Me too.
Let's try again. Let's try again tomorrow.
I love it. I love it.
And it's a hard thing to do, though.
It is.
But that's what's blameless. That's what's righteous.
Right. I think we get so wrapped up in our rights.
Yes.
I have a right to be angry when you treat me a certain way.
Right.
I have a right to speak back. I have a right to, you know, treat you the way you've treated me. And
yes.
Yet Jesus comes along and says, no, that's not quite the... That might be a silver rule, but the golden rule is I'm going to treat others the way I want to be treated.
Wow. And just laying down those rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
And the only reason we can even be included in this is because he did that for us.
Right.
And we see that, and we're astonished by it, and we honor it, and we laud it, you know. But we don't do it all the time. We don't
right.
do it like we should. We there are opportunities. And what we'll do is protect ourselves so well and insulate ourselves so well that we never even see an opportunity. There's never a chance that someone could have done us wrong because we've never put ourselves out
right.
there in order to be done wrong.
That's good. That's good. And, you know, kind of wraps it up there in verse 5. He who does these things shall never be moved.
There it is.
And when I read those words, I instantly go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Where Peter says, hey, if you'll add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, to self-control godliness. And he gives us this list of 8 characteristics. He says, when you're adding this to your faith, you will never be moved.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think David and Peter are saying the same things here.
I think so, too.
Absolutely. Not that we're perfect. Blameless doesn't mean perfect.
No.
But because of Jesus...
That's right.
We can add these qualities and grow in these qualities. In fact, for those of you who are here at Beltline, we just had a sermon on this where we talked about the qualifications of elders and deacons from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And you might think, well, that sounds boring. But listen, those qualities are not just for elders and deacons.
No.
Now, this is the point I was trying to make in the sermon, is those are qualities for all of us. The only difference is an elder already has them. Everybody else should be growing toward these, and even the elders and deacons should be growing in them, but they
yes.
should already possess them. It's not saying, okay, if you're going to be in church leadership, you can go, you have to follow these things, but everybody else, no big deal.
Do what you want.
That's not it. No.
No,
there is a call on our life to
Absolutely.
Add to our faith and to grow in the characteristics that look more like Christ. And I think David and Peter are saying the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've thought about that passage in 2 Peter as a, in the past, I thought of it as a way to stay saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This terrible wording. But that's the way I've thought of it.
Well, you're not going to be moved.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I go with that is, you know what? I want to maintain this firm foundation that my life is being built on. I want to stand firm forever. And so these are some of the things that if I'm doing these things, if I'm adding to my faith this goodness, if I'm adding knowledge, if I'm adding these things, then... chapter 15 of Psalms is going to describe me.
That's right. That'll
be a description.
That's exactly right.
Of the person I become if I'm actually putting those things into practice. And so it's well worth our time. And like you said, we're not doing it to earn salvation. We're doing it because we already are saved. We're doing it because Jesus did it for us.
Right.
What a beautiful, beautiful Savior we have to be able to conform our lives to Him.
We should want to be more like Him. This shouldn't be pulling teeth. We should say, I want to be like the one who gave His life for me.
Okay.
Well, that's great stuff, man. I appreciate you walking with me through chapter 15.
Yeah, bro,
I'm glad that you joined us as well. And so we'll go ahead and wrap it up right there. Looking forward to chapter 16 next week. It'll be a little bit different than what we talked about today, but certainly worth our time. So read ahead, and I'll look forward to seeing you back here next time with Psalm 16. Don't forget, if you haven't had an opportunity, head on over to our video teaching that corresponds with Psalm 15. I hope that this study is being a blessing to you and causing you to walk a little closer to, more closely? What is the word
That's
there?
It.
More closely
yeah.
to Jesus
like
than
it.
Maybe you had in the past. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. God bless.